You're listening to U Talk, part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Providing unbiased opinions on all things U Talk football and basketball.
Welcome to this episode of the U Talk podcast. As always, I'm Grant Bagby.
And I am Joseph Silverswag. How are all of the fans of the Pac-12 South champion Utes feeling? I hope you guys are feeling as good as I am, because I am feeling pretty good.
Well, there's a good reason to feel pretty good with the first ever Pac-12 South Division champs.
It's about darn time, isn't it?
It is about darn time. But hey, you know what? We'll get into that. There'll be plenty of talk about the Pac-12 South title, but let's get into our flow, right? So we got our quick hitters. We're going to talk some scheduling, reviewing. We're going to talk about firing wit, as always. And then we'll get into last weekend. That was the Colorado and the Oregon ASU games and our hashtag beloved Ducks. And then we'll look forward to the upcoming game against that team down south. And might as well, you know, it is a rivalry.
Is there another game? I thought there was an upcoming Pac-12 set. Championship game. Is there another game before that one?
I guess
I'll watch it.
Yep, you should. All right, here we go. So let's talk about what's on the schedule for the Utes. First off, volleyball, USC, is happening today. Women's basketball, Eastern Washington, today. Those are both away. And then the Utes men's basketball, they're down in Fullerton, California for the basketball short little tournament. They play today, and then they play again tomorrow. Volleyball also taking on the Colorado. Men's basketball's got some more games on the 25th as well. And then there's women's basketball, men's and women's swimming and diving's coming up. And, oh, yeah, like we mentioned, there's a football game Saturday at 8 p.m. against BYU.
Sort of. It's like a scrimmage.
Oh, man, we can talk about that in a few. But nonetheless, there's the schedule. But, you know, there's been some transfers going on in regards to the recruiting front. And, Joseph?
Yeah, it was a double-barreled great day to be a Ute today. Utah picked up an absolutely essential and coveted transfer, four-star linebacker, offers from all over the country, including Alabama, wound up going to Penn State. Did really, really well there for a few years, got into some off-field trouble, graduated, and is looking for a fresh start with the Utes, NFL-bound player, assuming he can get his head on straight, which I haven't heard anything bad about him, so I don't think whatever he was dealing with was really serious off-field stuff. So really hopeful for that. Immediate favorite to start at linebacker for the Utes opposite Francis Bernard. You know, certainly Donovan Thompson and Pirtle at Devin Lloyd are going to have their old things to say about that next year. But a huge, huge impact get. Utah's got two holes next year. They need to find a linebacker and they need to find a safety. They just got the linebacker. If they can get a ready-to-play safety, either a four-star plus high school prospect, or ideally this kid Quandre Mosley, he's a JUCO prospect. He's blown up kind of out of nowhere, but he's a four-star talent. And if he chooses the Utes, sky is absolutely the limit for 2019. I mean, expectations are going to be through the roof, and they should be. But filling these two spots will make all of those things much more likely.
Yeah, sweet. So that's the first one. I heard there was a second reason to be
and a kicker, a top 15 kicker. Honestly, I don't have my computer in front of me. His name escapes me. Dontrell, maybe, but anyway, he's an excellent place kicker, and the Utes should be well situated. They've got a couple of good place kickers on the team. They still got the freshman, or he's now a sophomore. He lost the starting job to Matty Gay last year. Matt Gay, you may recall, got an extra. So Matt Gay's 4 years of eligibility was spent playing soccer for Utah Valley University. And he got an extra year of football eligibility because that's such an unusual situation. So he's playing another year, but this is his last year as the place kicker, and the Utes will be looking to replace that. And we'll now have two very talented options, one a freshman, one a junior, to make that happen.
Yeah.
Plus, whatever stranger walks in off of, you know, the Tibetan steppes and says, I have been studying with the monks the art of place kicking. I mean, because somehow Kyle seems to find these people and just turn them into the best kicker in the country, and I don't know how he does it.
Well, let's pick one of those, right? So we got a ski team, the U.S. ski team. We all heard about that plenty of times. And you got Matt Gay
yes.
coming on.
And now Utah Valley State Soccer? Yeah, so I'm saying Tibetan Steps. I'm saying
Tibetan
we're,
Steps is where you're going to go?
Yes,
go
a Buddhist monk
I'm
is going to be the next
more topical. I'm going to say it's going to be like some dude who was like off the coast scuba diving the last
oh,
five
a
years
surfer? Like a
surfer guy,
bro?
Sure.
That would be fun. Yes. Okay. I'm on board. Get rid of the Tibetan monk.
Okay. So, yes. All right. So there's some recruiting news for you. As always, just to hold with tradition since the slump is we still think Witt should be fired.
Fire Witt, man.
Fire
can
Witt.
Him. Keep... He's only won one Pac-12 South title in the last week.
I hope you, new listeners, this is just a running joke because once we started talking about a reason why we
if it ain't
fired,
broke.
Been winning. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it. All right,
yep.
So last weekend was a pretty eventful weekend. Let's start with the first game that matters, which was the Utes game, which they needed to win in Colorado. A bunch of ugly weather. Everyone's making a big deal about the players coming out with no shirts on in 28 degrees weather.
Oh, that was
fun.
And
how apparently
yeah.
Jason Shelley led the front, and that is what I've heard. But nonetheless, good for them being tough. I would have been.
And they were having fun, which was great. And, you know, in the first half, it was kind of sloppy football with all the snow coming down. It was hard to play. Utah was definitely playing better, but the score was close. And then they just. But they were having fun, and the whole game, it felt like they were just enjoying themselves. And Colorado just absolutely got curb stomped. I mean, they got 4 yards in the third quarter. They were just hopeless.
Rushes. That's what made me happy. That's
oh, I mean, it's amazing. That is amazing. It's just you could not ask for a better stat than that. Utah's defense is so good. And what was amazing about it, my game ball, no question, goes to Francis Bernard. To
oh, yeah.
be sitting on the sidelines thinking you're going to get a few snaps, maybe in, you know, mop-up duty, and then the just most garbage. The targeting call against Chase Hansen attracted national media attention for being so terrible. And they just rolled right over it, and Francis Bernard, the Pro Football Focus, he was like the sixth best graded defensive player in all of the Pac-12 last week. I mean, he played a flawless game coming in out of nowhere, not warmed up, not ready to go, which is really exciting, and also really exciting for next year, as I alluded to. He's a heck of a player, and Utah's lucky to have him.
Can I just say this, though? Like, the targeting call that was a call, like, you, like, see his head move, and you're like, oh, wait, he got him. Maybe he got him in the head. Oh, no, wait, his head is moving into the hit, which means the guy got hit in the shoulder and his head moved because his body was – it's just like you look at the video. Like his head moved because
it just was
not
targeting. And then you look at the Porter Gustin hit on Gardner Minshew.
Oh, my gosh.
And you're like, what are you guys doing? And I appreciate that Kyle Whittingham isn't going to do this, but I was joking during the game that he should just walk into the press conference with his checkbook and he would say – tell me how much this is going to cost me. Just go off because somebody's got to. And I don't blame him for not doing it. He doesn't want to make it about him. He doesn't want to get the players riled up. He doesn't want to rock the boat. And so he says what he should say, which is, it's my job to coach the players up. It's frustrating for me because I don't know how to coach them. I don't know how to teach Chase Hansen how to tackle to not get a targeting call because I don't know what the rule is. And that's how you complain about it without getting fined, without making yourself into a story. And that's Kyle Whittingham to a
yeah,
T. Like
he's
not going to make himself the story if he can help it.
True. I mean, the thing is like Whittingham said, it's just been so inconsistent. It's like, how do you can coach it as much as you can, but when you're calling it so inconsistently – what are you supposed to do, right? So whatever. I don't want to focus on the targeting call. Ultimately, the defense was dominant with or without Chase Hansen, and then the offense started to really get into its groove in the second half and just dominated that game. I mean, 5 drives, 5 scores to start the second half, and Shelley looked great. Like, I'm starting to wonder.
He looked really good.
These next three games, I mean, we might be setting up for a quarterback battle come springtime.
If Utah wins their next three games, which for those not as good at predicting the future would mean they are the Pac-12 champions and they win the Rose Bowl against Michigan or Ohio State or something, some opponent like that, probably Ohio State. Yes, you have to have that discussion. That would be an incredible amount of success for him. And they do it, and he's playing like this the whole time. I mean, if Utah beats Ohio State 10-7 and he throws four interceptions, that's a different story, right? But if he's playing like this, then yes, you have the conversation. But I still the fundamental gap between Huntley and Shelley is arm talent. Huntley's downfield throwing ability on the run off his back foot is far and away superior to Shelley's ability to do this. The only reason Shelley's been making those downfield throws is because he's had a better pocket. And that has more to do with the defensive line his offensive line is up against, I think, than with Shelley. Although there is something to be said for his demeanor in the pocket. But I wonder how scattered and scared he would look if he were going up against Washington or Stanford or something along those lines. But Huntley's ability to have – he did it over and over again – to throw 40, 50, 60 yards downfield with accuracy, with a great spiral, catchable ball, despite having somebody wrap around his waist or being on his back foot or being on the run is – irreplaceable, and I think ultimately makes Huntley the better choice. But yes, you absolutely have to have the discussion, and Shelley is playing himself into a quarterback battle and deserves credit for that.
Exactly. All right, so if you, as we both know, I can't say if you didn't know and lived under a rock, because I think everyone knows, since we already said Pac-12 title, South title winners is everyone.
Don't get ahead of yourself there, Grant.
Everyone that I was aware of was watching the Oregon Arizona State game, and
that was so fun. It was such a communal experience to have everybody care about something that they normally wouldn't care about, and we're kind of light about it, you know. Instead of, people would get so heavy if it was the Utes playing for a title, and the game was, especially as close as it was and as intense as it was, but they were able to kind of have fun with it, and so it was really enjoyable. Although there was a little bit of a meltdown at the end, as the Oregon conservative play style started to make them look like the Utes in late close games, where they usually win, but you are sweating the entire time, the whole fourth quarter. You're like, oh my gosh, there's no way this is going to work. They have to score another touchdown, and they just didn't.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting listening to the coach's show yesterday. I could have sworn I heard Whittingham, when he was talking about watching that game, that he got to the point, I could have sworn I heard him say, well, and then we let it get close. And I was just like, no, you didn't let it get close. They didn't let it get close. It was just like,
yeah, it was
like,
really,
we were all cheering.
Ducks were our spirit animal, man. We were just completely 100% invested in this game that we normally would have given, you know, two craps about. It was fun. I loved it.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. It was a fun thing. I mean, we both have, before the show, I know my wife enjoyed it as well, but the hashtag, what was it? My Beloved Ducks, I believe it was.
My Beloved Ducks. So I've got funny. Some good ones there. And I'm especially glad they won, because the more I think about, my stats have Arizona State as a coin flip. Because it's at Arizona. But the more I think about N'Keal Harry and Eno Benjamin running into that soft, poor tackling, poor pass covering Arizona defense, I mean, they are just going to have an absolute field day with them. And I'm really glad that we don't have to rely on Arizona to defeat Arizona State to win the Pac-12.
Totally agree. So unless you have something else to add about that game, I hear there's another game that doesn't matter, but the game's happening anyway on Saturday at 8 p.m. at Rice-Eccles Stadium. And
in like 20-degree weather, it is going to be so freaking cold and miserable. Which is part of why BYU didn't even sell out their tickets. Did you hear that? 150 tickets returned And I wouldn't either. I wouldn't go down to Provo to watch the Utes get their asses handed to them. I don't blame them, especially not in 20 degree weather. I don't blame them. It projects to be an absolute, you know, barnstorming ass whooping. Like it's just going to be brutal.
See, and as much as I want to do that, and you know, I went into work today, went up to the whiteboard since it was the last work day before the game at where I work, and I wrote Utah BYU name for everyone to start putting their picks up there. And
oh, that's clever.
The BYU fans were not fun, or were not happy with my pick, which I will reveal later. But they kept telling me, no, it's going to be closer. It's a rivalry game. There's all these different things and the emotion of it and everything else.
It's just not true. Like, this is the narrative, right? Because it sells tickets and it sells radio ads and it works. But if you have a game where over the course of 10, one team wins by 35 two or three times, that same team wins five of the other times by six or seven, and the other team wins two games by 1 or 2 points, that's not close.
No,
it's not.
I'm with you.
And describing this as like a consistently close – last year, yes, the score was 19-13. And I would imagine that because Utah fans are invested in the results of these games, they feel anxiety at the end of a game that's not like a three-score lead. But an objective observer of that game, or any of the last games where BYU would get the ball back towards the end down a score, would say there is just absolutely no way that team is going to go 70 yards against that defense. And they never did, because they can't, because they're not good enough. And it's only getting worse. I mean, you set the roster side by side. There isn't a receiver who's going to get open. There isn't a rusher who can stop, who can defeat Barton or Chase Hansen. I mean, Chase Hansen's going to be spying on Zach Wilson. People are talking about Zach Wilson's mobility. I mean, Godspeed trying to consistently defeat Chase Hansen in the open field, Zach. I mean, good luck to you. I wouldn't wish that fate on anyone. And then on the other side of the ball, it's the same thing. Their defensive line, they're short. Is it Kaufusi, who's out for the year with a foot injury? That's by far the best player on their defense. There's going to be open receivers all over the field. Shelley's going to have plenty of time to throw. I think it's just going to be a wholesale slaughter. I think, you know, I have no anticipation of a competitive game, and there's no reason to anticipate a competitive game. My numbers say 99.7% chance Utah wins.
Hey, high. This is where all the BYU fans get behind what I'm about to say, and they say, but don't you remember the Little Giants pep talk? 1 in 100. She's got to win once. Stop.
Yes.
We don't want to
But they've actually got to win 1 in 1,000. I mean, no. I mean, you can give the pep talk. Enjoy yourself.
Hey, I just
can't. But, you know, isn't it more fun that way? Like, if you're trying to get excitement up for this game, I am more excited to watch Utah kick their can than I am to watch a close, exciting game. I would much more enjoy a 24-point win. You know, and usually that's not the case, right? Like, my favorite game last year was the Washington game. Utah lost that game, but it was such a good football game. Everybody was playing so well, and the score was back and forth. It was so competitive, and I had a great time watching that game. I said, that was such an entertaining game. I would not be entertained if that was the BYU game. I want BYU to be a, you know, Arizona-style just beat down. And that's, I think, what we're going to get. But I think that's the best way to sell a Ute fan on, is like, sit back, crack open a beer. This is going to be fun.
Well, ultimately, what my hope is I want to see Drew Lisk get some playing time, because I know you pushed him so hard in fall camp.
He came out with like 6-7 minutes left, and I was like, yes, we are going to get to see Lisk. And then they're running read option. Drew Lisk is a statue in the pocket. He is not a mobile quarterback. And they didn't even let him throw a pass. I was so frustrated. So hopefully they let him throw some passes because he's a good passer. He's got a good arm. He's really, really accurate, particularly in middle distance. And I think he could cut apart that BYU defensively, especially if it's late and they're leading and nobody cares anymore. I think that he could have a lot of fun, score some touchdowns, and I hope he gets the opportunity.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to see what our back. I want to see our second and our third stringers and just see them playing against BYU.
Yeah.
And preferably dominating, of course. But
right, wouldn't that be fun?
That's kind of what I'm looking forward to. That's what I want to see. I want to be excited to watch that. But
and I really want to see second string defense in, although it's not a Pac-12 officiating crew, which is great news. But I worry so much about Chase Hansen or Lucky Foto or somebody picking up a targeting call in the second half and missing the first half of the Pac-12 championship game. It's less likely to happen with a different crew, but the less snaps that the Utah's best defensive, particularly defensive players, because of the targeting role, play in the second half, the better.
Yeah, I was excited when I saw that it's not a Pac-12 officiating crew, which, you know, Pac-12, be embarrassed. Here are Utah fans that cheer for Pac-12 teams, yada, 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 and we're excited when Pac-12 officials are not calling.
And it shouldn't matter. I mean, nobody, if you're doing your job right at all, nobody should care for a second what conference is fielding the officials, you know? I mean, it doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter, but it does because they're so poorly administrated.
Yeah.
And it's embarrassing, and it's a national embarrassment, and there's a lot of other national embarrassments, and let's freaking fire Larry Scott already. The Woody stuff was absolutely the last straw for me, and I want to see him in, you know, real estate or something, do something else.
Yeah, ultimately, having the untrained third-party scandal and the Porter Gustin defending the Porter Gustins not the
total unwillingness to accept accountability, to admit mistakes when they are so plain to see is really frustrating.
So based on that, is there anything else you want to highlight for this upcoming BYU game before we get to our picks?
No, I think we've covered it. I'm excited. I don't believe the game is going to be close. I don't believe saying these games have always been close is accurate. I wrote an article last year saying the holy war is over, meaning that the game will go on, but the war, the contests of wills with so much on the line had ended and that Utah had won it. And a lot of people thought that was a good article, but I also got a lot of pushback from people saying, well, these teams, there's still something there. And I think this year, and then it's three or four game weeks away. It's a year away, but it's 3 or 4 game weeks away when they play them again next year. I think these next two games are going to nail the coffin lid shut because Utah's going to just win by huge margins and everybody's going to have to look at it and say, they just can't hang with this team anymore. The recruiting is just too far. The facilities and the strength training, and there's just the gap is just too big for this to be a real rivalry anymore.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that pains me with this game is that we're going to watch our defense potentially take advantage of a true freshman quarterback who is a Utah fan and the Utes and the whole...
And who could be absolutely on the roster if it weren't for Tuttle. Yep.
Yeah, and the way that's worth all saying. Played out. Like, that is what pains me about this game. And it's not that the Utes... Like, I don't fault the coaching staff or anything like that. It's just... It just
sucks.
It's a sucky situation. Yep. I don't like it. And that pains me. And I will just point that out. Look, I hope Zach Wilson, you know, does all right, but I hope the Utes demolish BYU. And
well, I hope he comes out healthy.
Yeah,
you know, Utah has injured, I think, 5 starting quarterbacks now. And I know, I mean, there's nothing that they should be doing differently, and it's incumbent on the offenses to know you're playing a good physical defensive line and protect your quarterback. That's your job, not Utah's job. Yep. But it's hard when these quarterbacks keep going down. I feel a little bad for him, and I don't want Zach Wilson to join the ranks, but he's a freshman. He's going to be playing really, really, really hard. He's going to make some irresponsible decisions, and he's never been hit as hard as he's going to get hit. Yeah. On Saturday, and I'm worried about him, you know, finishing out the game, and hope he does. I hope he throws a lot of interceptions, but plays four quarters.
Yeah. All right. Well. All right. It's time for some picks. Put a score behind your 99.3% accurate confidence level.
So I am going to say I'm predicting, because of the weather, it may snow a little bit. I'm predicting a low scoring game. I don't think Utah's really going to have trouble. I don't think BYU is going to score a touchdown. I am going to say 24-3.
Okay. I could dig that. That's really funny. I was given a hard time for not predicting a BYU touchdown either.
I think that's completely rational. Who's going to score? I mean, who's getting in there?
Yeah, no.
Good luck.
I had a BYU fan, one of the more realistic BYU fans I know, tell me, hey, I just hope that we do better than only crossing the 50-yard line once. And they did. I can't remember.
I think absolutely Utah should be setting their expectations the same way they did with Colorado at shutout. I mean, that should be the defensive objective for Utah.
Yeah. So I'm going to go – I think they're still going to score points simply because, look, the weather cleared up just a smidgen and the Utes dropped 30 on Colorado. So I'm going to go 51-6.
Oh, man. Did you say 50?
Yeah. Yep. I'm going
crazy. Okay.
I'm going way out
there. Okay. I like that. I like the confidence.
You think you're 99.3% confident? Look at me.
99.7.
99.
Yeah, that's 99.9. I never go that far. I don't usually pick more than a 28-point win, but it's certainly possible.
It's happened before. 54-10 happened, so I mean, there's not to say it's out of the realm of possibility here. Oh my gosh! Never mind. We shouldn't go into. Let's not go into.
All right. So I've got 24-3. And you've got 51-6.
Yep.
I think that puts us in serious go Utes territory.
Oh, for sure. Go Utes.
Go Utes.
Thanks for listening to Ute Talk. Brought to you by the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Find us on Twitter @UteTalk Podcast or email @UteTalk@gmail.com.